helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. After January 6, 2021, there seems to have been almost nonstop talk about insurrection. But all of this is a distraction, covering up the true insurrection in America, the federal government. Merriam-Webster's online dictionary defines an insurrection as an act or instance of revolting against civil authority or an established government. Now, when you take the time to read the Constitution, you find out, well, that's exactly what the federal government and many state governments as well have been doing for decades, revolting against the legitimate and supreme civil authority in this country, the Constitution of the United States. We saw it when Congress started creating federal agencies that are neither necessary nor proper to exercise the authority delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Now we sit back and watch while those agencies revolt against the civil authority that created the federal government in order to deprive us of our rights. It breaks my heart to see so many Americans simply follow these illegal orders to metaphorically walk ourselves into the gulag these tyrannical actors have created for us. Sure, we may win a battle from time to time, but for the most part, the American people aren't even participating in the war for our liberty. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is, yes, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. We help people prepare to not only recognize when their rights are being violated, but to defend and assert them. And many of you may think I've gone over the top by referring to the government of Washington, D.C. as an insurrection, but I think you'll see over the course of this program that that's not true. See, the federal government is, it may be an established government, but it is not the established government. It is not the supreme law of the land. The Constitution is. And it's that way for a very, very important reason, ladies and gentlemen. That reason is men are fallen. Evil men exist and they are drawn to power. So in order to keep them in check, the power must be buffered. And it's buffered by this Constitution, the legal authority for the people of the United States to simply look a government actor in the eye and say, no, we did not consent to this. We did not delegate this to you. This has no power. This act is void. Now, our states are supposed to be there backing us in this. Our governors and our state legislatures, our state courts are supposed to be backing us in this. But in many cases, they're not. Even the federal courts are supposed to be backing us in this. But in many cases, it's the very federal courts that are enabling the destruction of your rights through their twisted interpretation of plain, ordinary English. Now, as I say, occasionally we may win a skirmish. We may win a battle. Sadly, those are all too rare. But I do want to take a look at one of them. But as I'm talking about this case of Adams versus St. John's County school board, realize that what we have here are people attempting to overturn the civil authority. And the fact that they lost here at the circuit court, if you look at it, this is what Washington, D.C. has been promoting for over a decade. The irrational concept that calling a boy a girl or a girl a boy makes it so. We're always told to live and let live, but things don't seem to work out that way, do they? Take, for example, the transgender movement's insistence that everyone else ignore what is physically true and pander to their psychoses. Such is the situation with the case of Adams versus School Board of St. Johns County, Florida. Drew Adams is a minor girl pretending to be a boy, even though the St. Johns County School Board has made accommodations for Ms. Adams' delusions, she's still not happy. She wants to use the boys' bathroom rather than the sex-neutral bathrooms that were specifically set aside for the very few confused students. She is so insistent that she, through her mother, sued the school district in federal court. This case made its way all the way to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Why does it always seem that live and let live turns into my way or else? It happened with the same-sex marriage movement, and it's happening again with the transgender movement. The case of Drew Adams versus School Board of St. Johns County is a perfect example. This case involves the unremarkable and nearly universal practice of separating school bathrooms based on biological sex. This appeal requires us to determine whether separating the use of male and female bathrooms in the public school based on a student's biological sex violates either the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment or Title IX of the Education Amendments Act of 1972. Now, we hold that it does not. Separating school bathrooms based on biological sex passes constitutional muster and comports with Title IX. Let's start by getting some background on this case. Plaintiff appellee Drew Adams is a transgender boy. This means that Adams identifies as a male while Adams' biological sex, sex based on chromosomal structure and anatomy at birth, is female. Adams entered the school district in the fourth grade as a biological female and identified as a female. At the end of the eighth grade, however, Adams began identifying and living as a boy. Well, for example, Adams dressed in boy's clothing and wore a chest binder to flatten breast tissue. Most pertinently for this appeal, Adams adapted the male pronouns he and him and began using the male bathroom in public. So Drew is a girl who identifies as a boy. Have you heard the question, how many legs does a dog have if you count the tail as a leg? The answer is four, because calling the tail a leg doesn't make it one. Calling a person with two X chromosomes a boy, dressing them like a boy, and giving them a boy's name does not make them a boy. In August 2015, Adams entered ninth grade in Allen D. Neese High School within the school district. Neese provides female, male, and sex-neutral bathrooms for its 2,450 students. The communal female bathrooms have stalls, and the communal male bathrooms have stalls and undivided urinals. In addition to performing bodily functions in the communal bathrooms, students engage in other activities like changing their clothes in those spaces. Single-stall, sex-neutral bathrooms are provided to accommodate any student, including the approximately five transgender students at Neese, who prefer not to use the bathroom corresponding to their biological sex. The bathrooms at Neese are ordinarily unsupervised. The school board, like many others, maintains a long-standing, unwritten bathroom policy under which male students must use the male bathroom and female students must use the female bathroom. For the purpose of this policy, the school board distinguishes between boys and girls on the basis of biological sex, which the school board determines by referencing to various documents, including birth certificates, that students submit when they first enroll in the school district. The school board does not accept updates to student enrollment documents to conform with their gender identities. See, like every school I have ever been in, Neese High School has male and female bathrooms. The boys use the boys' room, and the girls use the girls' room. Neese High School has gone the extra mile and created single-stall, sex-neutral bathrooms for those who do not want to use the single-sex bathrooms of their sex. This seems to me to be a perfectly reasonable compromise, not between the school and transgender students, but between the non-transgender students and the transgender students. You don't have to look at ours, we don't have to look at yours. According to the school board, the bathroom policy addresses concerns about the privacy, safety, and welfare of students pursuant to the school board's duties under the governing Florida statute. In line with these concerns, the parties specified the following in their joint pretrial statement. The parties stipulate that certain parents of students and students in the St. Johns County School District object to a policy or practice that would allow students to use a bathroom that matches their gender identity as opposed to their sex assigned at birth. These individuals believe that such a practice would violate the bodily privacy rights of students and raise privacy, safety, and welfare concerns. Contrary to the parties quoted here, your sex isn't assigned at birth, but determined at conception. That's just basic biology. Both sides agree. There are students and parents who are not comfortable with people using the bathroom for the opposite sex. With all the focus on the confused transgender, it seems people forget that the vast majority of people are concerned for the rights and safety of those, especially the girls, who are often forced to share bathrooms and locker rooms with the opposite sex. Which brings us to this lawsuit. On June 28, 2017, after Adams' effort to change the school board's bathroom policy failed, Adams filed suit against the school board under 42 U.S.C. 1983, alleging that his bathroom policy violated both the Equal Protection Clause and Title IX.
So after unsuccessfully trying to change the school policy, the Adams family tried to get the court to force the school district to not only ignore reality, but place the physical and emotional safety of the vast majority of their students under the control of a confused teenager. First, let's look at the question of a violation of the Equal Protection Clause from the 14th Amendment. The Equal Protection Clause provides that no state shall deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, the Equal Protection Clause is essentially a direction that all persons similarly situated should be treated alike, and simply keeps governmental decision makers from treating differently persons who are in all relevant respects alike. Does the school's bathroom policy deny Ms. Adams the equal protection of the law? For that to be true, you must believe the fiction that she became a boy simply by saying so. You must also ignore the fact that she has female anatomy and genetics. Quite the contrary, it is Ms. Adams who wishes to deny the equal protection of the law regarding single-sex bathrooms to everyone else. Thankfully, the court agreed. Adams claims to be similarly situated to biological boys in the school district for the purpose of the bathroom policy, even though Adams is not biologically male, the only characteristic on which the policy is based. Throughout the pendency of this case, Adams remained both biologically and anatomically identical to biological females, not males. Thus, in prohibiting Adams from using the male bathrooms, it can be argued that the school board did not treat differently persons who are in all relevant respects alike for purposes of the Equal Protection Clause. To argue otherwise, the dissent, like the district court, must assert that transgender status and gender identity are equivalent to biological sex. Indeed, this forms the foundation of the dissent's attempt to frame this case not as a case about the constitutionality and legality of separating bathrooms based on biological sex, but rather as a case about the purported unlawfulness of excluding Adams, who attended school as a biological female, from using the male bathroom because, as the dissent claims, Adams is a boy for the purpose of the bathroom policy. Now, what about the Title IX question? Title IX was passed as part of the Education Amendments of 1972 and patterned after the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The statute mandates that, subject to certain exceptions, no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, denied the benefit of, or be subject to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. See, Title IX was created specifically to protect females in sports, to make sure they had a chance to compete against those of similar biology, have safe places to train, change, and yes, use the bathroom. Notwithstanding Title IX's general prohibition on sex discrimination, the statute provides an express carve-out with respect to living facilities. Nothing contained in Chapter 38 shall be construed to prohibit any educational institution receiving funds under this act from maintaining separate living facilities for the different sexes. Once again, we see it wasn't the school that was trying to violate Title IX, it was Ms. Adams. To interpret sex within the meaning of Title IX, we look to the ordinary meaning of the word when it was enacted in 1972. One of the methods of determining the ordinary meaning of a word is by looking at dictionaries in existence around the time of the enactment. Reputable dictionary definitions of sex from the time of Title IX's enactment show that when Congress prohibited discrimination on the basis of sex in education, it meant biological sex, i.e. discrimination between males and females. It truly takes some linguistic gymnastics to interpret sex in the meaning of Title IX to mean a mental disorder and an inability to recognize the basic facts of human biology. The circuit court looked at the decision from the district, along with the questions about the Equal Protection Clause in Title IX, and came to the quite reasonable conclusion that having single-sex bathrooms based on biology is not discriminatory. Personally, I would have gone a step farther and said that Ms. Adams' request was a truly discriminatory act here, since she wished to deny the 2,445 students in Nice High School the opportunity to use a single-sex bathroom in order to fulfill the delusions of the other five. In fact, she wanted to effectively rewrite basic human biology to accommodate her delusion rather than comply with what I can only describe as a quite reasonable accommodation offered by the school, individual sex-neutral bathrooms. This lawsuit, which may not be over, is just the latest in the war against reason, morality, and common sense that has been sweeping across this nation. Some may be offended by me referring to the plaintiff as Ms. Adams. All I can say is the most caring thing I can do for Ms. Adams is not to enable her in her delusion. If she wants to dress like a boy, I won't stop her. But when she expects the world to warp around her delusion, she needs mental help. Now, whether this case is over or not, there are bound to be more cases, not to mention more situations, where the deluded attempt to impose their delusions on others. You can only hope that some sanity will appear in the American people on both sides of this debate, can learn to live and let live.
So here we have, I guess in this case, an insurrection against logic, an insurrection against biology, and an attempt to use the levers of government to overturn the supreme law of the land. Now, the Constitution says you can't be denied equal protection under the law. But Ms. Adams wants special protection. She wants to actually overturn that. But we don't see it that way. It's never presented to us that way. Unless you take the time to actually read and study the Constitution, then you see it. Now, that's a situation where, at the moment, I guess the sanity wins. But there are plenty that are trying to overturn the Constitution, overturn the rule of law, overturn the civil authority that the people have given to their government. And I'm going to talk about that, but I need to do it after the break. Now, before I go, I don't know about you, but you know, I get to the end of some days and I have a hard time focusing. Now, like many Americans, I used to reach for the coffee. I tried energy drinks once and I didn't really like them very much. But now I use Focus and Recall from Healthy Cell. It is a vitamin-based supplement designed to boost short-term focus and long-term brain power, all in a simple-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. I love this stuff. It works so well. You know, I take it, and about 15 minutes later, you know, the fog clears, and I'm able to get some work done. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order at Healthy Cell, whether it includes Focus and Recall or any of their great products. Just use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So do me a favor, go to HealthyCell.com. They are a leading innovator in supplements that work at the cellular level. Put your cart together. You'll find some really great products, not just Focus and Recall. Then use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud. Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe. Air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Americans, if you join the Constitution study, You know, today we're talking about the true insurrection, what's been going on, not just in Washington, D.C., but in many of our state houses as well. The first segment I focused on an issue dealing with schools, but it's really dealing with this, the people using government to basically get rid of freedom and liberty, to basically supplant the Constitution and put their own ideas as the rule of law. But I want to go back and I want to start focusing on the federal government because it's really starting to piss me off. You see, I've lived through decades and decades of this hoax called global warming. Yes, it is a hoax, folks. You do the math. You look at the reports. They've been telling us for 50 years we've got 10 years to live. They've been wrong each and every time. Why? Because the models they use to predict this stuff suck. And the one model that gives them somewhat accurate information, they simply ignore. So they're, you know, what does this have to do with insurrection? Well, watch as those government actors come in. You have all the regulatory agencies that the Congress illegally created. That's right. They're void. Don't just take my word for it. Alexander Hamilton said an act of the legislature contrary to the Constitution is void. The Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison said act of the legislature repugnant to the Constitution is void. There is no necessary or proper reason for Congress to have made most of these executive agencies. Yet look at what they're doing. They are trying to tell us how to live our lives. They're trying to get us, oh, don't use gasoline engines. You know, you got to use electric vehicles. And sometimes they use the iron fist. Sometimes they put it in a velvet glove. So what do? The federal government steals your money. That's right, steals it. They're taking, quote unquote, tax credits, which means we're gonna pretend you pay taxes, a certain amount of taxes, if you simply follow our lie, our myth, that says electric vehicles are the answer to all of our energy problems, right? It, you know, same thing with the solar and the wind. It's all a lie. It's all an insurrection. It's all an attempt to circumvent the Constitution of the United States and place the rule of the bureaucracy above the rule of law. So we had this laughably named Inflation Reduction Act, which, by the way, did nothing to reduce inflation. In fact, it was basically the Climate Change Act that they couldn't get passed. So they just renamed it the Inflation Recovery Act, put a giant omnibus bill and said, here you go. Well, guess what we're finding? We're finding that through government incompetence, bureaucratic and political stupidity, and the inability, the unwillingness of the American people to just stand up and say no, we see that all of this money that's being spent is actually going to cost the American people, at least according to the CBO, as much as four times more than Congress lied about. See, the Constitution is very clear. Congress can collect taxes to do three things, and only three things. Pay the debts of the United States. That's a whole other issue. To provide for the common defense of the United States, or for the general welfare of the United States, capital U, capital S, that very same proper noun used in the 10th Amendment that says, listen, if we didn't tell the United States you can do it, you can't do it. But here we have, and it goes on and on and on. Your freedom has been stolen, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean it's being stolen. I mean it has been stolen. Because you believe the lie that the Constitution is not the supreme law of the land. It's whatever a court says. It's whatever a bureaucrat can get away with. But that's a lie. That's an insurrection. That is a usurpation of the civil authority. It is a revolt against the Constitution and the government that it established, replacing it with another one. But yet this keeps going on and on and on. Now, in the latest ridiculously stupid, I mean, they can pry these from my cold, dead hands. The Biden administration wants to crack down on gas stoves. Right, I've had enough.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
So, what's the latest outrage out of Washington D.C.? Well, the Department of Energy, another one of those illegal agencies, an agency that does not legally exist. The act that created it is void because it's repugnant to the Constitution because it is not a power delegated to the United States. Well, they have a new rule that they want to put on us. And you know what it is? They call it the Energy Conservation Standard for gas stoves and electric cooking equipment. You know what? You can take your standard and stuff it. Lord, I wish the states would wake up. I wish the people would wake up and realize 90% of the crap that comes out of D.C. is nothing but empty, useless, hot air. It legally means nothing. Bubkiss. This is just another attempt by a bunch of know-it-all nanny bureaucrats to tell you how to live your life, not based on facts, not based on science, not even based on law, but based on an ideological myth and a political movement. Now, there have been a bunch of states that have been whining and crying, oh, we're going to get rid of gas stoves, as if gas stoves are going to do anything for the environment. There's a reason why, for decades, we have used gas stoves indoors without ventilation. You know why? Because they put out almost no gases. Once they burn, it's gone. There's no, it doesn't put out soot or other toxins. Because that's not good enough for these environmental Nazis that think you're too stupid to be allowed to decide for yourself. Now, what do? They took this garbage cooked up study. And I do mean it's garbage, full of cooked up data. But they said there's a chance it could increase asthma, so we have to get rid of it. Well, guess what? No one in my house has asthma, so take your standards and stuff it. In fact, a 2013 study, after sampling 500,000 children worldwide, found no association between using gas as a cooking fuel and either asthma symptoms or asthma diagnosis. All right, these are people. They're con artists. They are scammers. They are crooks of the highest level, and I'm tired of it. But what really pisses me off is the number of the American people going tiss, 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 and not doing a darn thing while this little cabal of nincompoops take over our lives and tell us how to live our lives. No, I left the Empire State of New York because of this type of nonsense. I'm not standing for it here. Now, the question is, who's going to join me? Who's going to stand up with me and say, no, we're mad as hell. We're not taking this anymore. You're not allowed to do this. The DOE does not legally exist. Their words are meaningless, empty drivel. And just live our lives. And if the feds come after us, well, we'll just stand arm in arm and say, no, you're not coming here. Just like the patrons did at that restaurant in Buffalo, New York, when the health inspector came in to do some COVID inspection. She brought armed deputies to do a COVID inspection. And the guy said, no, where's your warrant? You don't have one. You're not wanted here. You're trespassing. And the people in the customers in his restaurant stood behind him and said, no, you're not happening. And they stood up and government backed down. When are we going to start hiring people in our counties and our state houses that'll actually stand up to these petty little tyrants, these little insurrectionists that believe just because some federal bureaucrat says something, it is true and it is law. It is not. Again, the DOE doesn't legally exist. I don't even care what the courts say. I can prove it because you know what supersedes the Supreme Court of the United States? The Constitution of the United States. The Constitution created the Supreme Court. And it did not give them the last authority on interpretation of the Constitution. Do you know who has the last authority? The states. That's right, the parties to the compact that is the Constitution. But I don't know how to wake the American people up. I don't know how to get that band of brothers and sisters that believe in freedom and liberty to stand up and say, we're mad as hell. We're not taking it anymore. No. How about we start impeaching these people for the crime of stealing the rights from the American people, rights protected by the Constitution of the United States. Yes, doing so is a federal crime. But then again, there's always going to be people that will use the powers of government to get what they want. a group of House and Senate Democrats now. They want to update the Family and Medical Leave Act. Guess what? Family and medical leave is not a power delegated to the United States. Public health is not. Employment contracts are not. These are illegal actions. But Paul, we like getting family leave and medical leave. Then negotiate it with your boss and stop asking the tyrants in government to steal it from the American people. Now, granted, these are members of Congress, which means they cannot be questioned for anything they say on the floor. But you know what I can do? I can work to get them impeached because they violated their oath of office. They violated the supreme law of the land. These are petty tyrants. Paul, this, you sound pretty hyped up. I am. I am hyped up today over this. Because this is, to me, this is just another straw, and I'm waiting for the camel's back to break. But it seems like it won't break. And I'm worried that the American people, if some used to be taken care of, to be babied, to be treated like overgrown children, like slaves, that they're just sitting there waiting for their master to decide what next part of their life they're going to steal. Now, I can't be sure. My guess is the vast majority of the American people look at this nonsense. Look at the attempt to coerce us into using electric vehicles, even though they, in many cases, now listen, if an electric vehicle makes sense for you, if you live in a metropolitan area, if you have ready access to charging stations, if you tend to not take long drives, be my guest. I don't care if you use an electric vehicle. But why should I pay for your electric vehicle? See, the problem is your electric vehicle is way too expensive for you, but you want me to pay the difference. Uh-uh. We don't want to use gas? Fine. Don't use gas in your home. But you want to take that away from me? No. And now you're going to tell me what negotiations I need to make with my employer or my employees about medical leave? Heck no. No, I'm fed up with it. This country is going to pot because I believe the vast majority of the American people aren't interested in this nonsense. But they're too silent and, I'll say it, too cowardly to stand up and say anything. See, most people don't realize that only 3% of the colonists actually fought for independence. We're the 3% of Americans that are tired of this insurrection against the Constitution of the United States. The actual insurrection, not the January 6th faux insurrection that wasn't organized, had no weapons. No, these bloody tyrants that want to use weapons against us, the weapons of the law enforcement, the weapons of the court, the weapons of the military. Just listen to Joe Biden, right? If you want to oppose him, you better have an F-15. He better hope that the American people don't decide to take him up on that offer. Because if the American people have finally had enough and stand up to this tyrant, he better pray we do so without using violence, even though you've threatened violence against us. You know, those who wish to destroy the Constitution and our way of life, they're more willing to get up and get loud. Now, I don't say we need to get violent, but we certainly need to defend ourselves. But we need to get some backbone. We need the intestinal fortitude to realize we have the legal authority to say, no, we did not authorize this. This is not a power we delegate to you. You don't have it. And if our elected officials won't stand up, we'll stand up, and then we'll find better elected officials, because that's how this country works. We are a republic. We are a representative nation. We, the people, pick our representatives. We hire them. We can fire them. And if you're going to be a bunch of mamby-pamby little, well, we'll just wait and let someone else do it, then you deserve to be marched right off into the gulag. Because that's exactly where we're heading, folks. You're heading to a land where you can't decide what to wear in the morning without the government's approval. You can't cook your eggs in the morning. You can't make your coffee in the morning. You can't drive your car. You can't flush your toilet. You can't use a light bulb without the federal government's approval. And that's exactly where we're going. And it seems nobody's willing to actually say, hey, maybe we don't want to go there, but actually do something about it. You know, Franklin said that we would have a republic if we could keep it. Well, are you going to get off your butt and do something to keep it? Or are you just going to sit there and be marched into slavery? You know, some people may think our founding fathers are rolling over in their graves. Maybe they are. And maybe every man and woman that sacrificed so we could live free is rolling in their grave as we sit here and watch while our freedoms are taken away and do nothing. Nothing. The government in Washington, D.C. has become so corrupt, so criminal, that we need to change it. But we don't change it now. We start by changing it here at our county levels. Because that's where the heart of the problem is. The heart of the problem isn't the nut jobs in D.C. It's the people in our counties that are unwilling to hold even their elected officials accountable. Our sheriffs, our county commissioners, our mayors, our city councilmen. If we started holding them accountable to their oath to support the Constitution, we could fix most of this. But the American people are too lazy. You're just too distracted by bread and circuses. We sit back and watch while our children's future, while my daughter's future is sold for a bowl of pottage. And we act like we're noble for doing that. No, we're not. We're cowards. And I include myself in that because many years I wasn't willing to stand up. Well, guess what? That's changed, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pointing out here just how criminal these activities are. But I need help to do something about it. Now, I've got some more examples of just how petty and tyrannical these people are, but I have to take a break. Now, I want to remind you, the Constitution Study is one of many voices on America Out Loud. So make it your daily stop for the latest news and information. But it's more important than ever that you do your part, that you join us and we share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, that we do all that we can so that we can work together to share the blessings of liberty before these tin pot dictators take it away from us.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan, a plan based on real science that responds to the real world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
We are fighting the ultimate fight between good and evil. AmericaOutLoud.com replaces groupthink with innovative think. Well, it was Walt Whitman, the poet, who said, "Keep your face always toward the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you." America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about the real insurrection going on in Washington, D.C. It's not the January 6th demonstrators. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's the federal government itself that has effectively supplanted the Constitution of the United States as the supreme law of the land. And part of it is because we, the people, we've hired idiots to represent us. I'm sorry, I try not to call people names, but I can't think of any other way to describe some of the stuff that I've been seeing. We've talked about the transgender movement trying to deny reality, deny the basics of biology. We've talked about the federal government's push to ignore, again, reality, ignore science, to force us to live the way they think we should live, with electric vehicles and no gas stoves and Lord knows what else. They want us to live based by their rules, not the rules we establish for them, the ones they are establishing for us. They are revolting against the legitimate civil authority in this country. And we act like there's nothing we can do with it. Nothing we can do about it. We're stuck. Now, I believe people have the right to the representation they desire. But I also think that representation tells a lot about a person, about the people that vote for them, and that representation has to fit within the structure of the Constitution of the United States. So when Representative Ilhan Omar was removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee, the question in my mind was, well, was there a legitimate reason? Yes, it was a party line vote. Shouldn't be surprised, right? 218 to 211. The Republicans said remove her. The Democrats said keep her. Now, what was the reason for her removal? Well, how about her repeated anti-Semitic statements? Sure, she said in an interview, I might have used it at the times that something I didn't understand was trafficking in anti-Semitism. I'm sorry, but I've seen enough of her quotes to say this person is anti-Semitic, which is antithetical to a Congress that is not supposed to abridge a person's right to exercise their religion. So was the removal politically motivated? Partially. I mean, let's not fool ourselves, right? If a Republican had made those statements, I'm sure they would have tried harder to brush it under the table, the same way the Democrats did with Omar. Not surprising whatsoever. When you have a party line vote, politics has to be part of it. But I have to ask you, as an American citizen, are you okay with these anti-Semitic tropes coming out of your Congress? And it tells me a lot about the people who voted for Ilhan Omar. Okay, they're anti-Semitic. And guess what? They're allowed to have their own anti-Semitic tropes. They're allowed to be anti-Semites. They're allowed to believe that Jews are evil. That's called freedom of religion. But they're not allowed to use that and impose that on the rest of the country through the Congress. That's what the First Amendment says. So while it says that Congress can't establish a religion, it also cannot establish a belief that hates another religion. That's kind of inferred. Now, in a statement, a rant on the House floor, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, not exactly a shining example of reason and logic, claims that the only reason Ilhan Omar has been removed from that office, from that particular committee, is Islamophobia. Has nothing to do with her own race. She claims that it's racist. Has nothing to do with the racist comments of Ilhan Omar. No, that's what passes for logic in Washington, D.C. nowadays. Now listen, again, Ocasio-Cortez is, she's entitled to her own opinion. She, however, is not entitled to her own facts. The fact of the matter is, if you're looking for racism, look no farther than Ilhan Omar. Maxine Waters, even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She believed the world revolves around her. She even lied on the floor saying that a member of the House threatened her life. Bald-faced lie. But this is what goes on for debate nowadays. You don't get what you want, you have yourself a nice little rant, and because you are a darling of the media, you get attention. You want to see real discrimination? See, again, There are other Muslims. No one's preventing Ilhan Omar from serving on other committees. They just said, listen, maybe an anti-Semite is not the person to have on the Foreign Affairs Committee, especially because of the unique relationship between the United States and Israel. Maybe that would not be a good thing. But you want to see real discrimination? You want to see real hatred? The Smithsonian Museum, which is which is funded by your tax dollars, the federal government, kicked a bunch of kids out for the intolerable act of wearing a beanie with the words pro-life on it. You see, back on January 20th, a bunch of school children from Our Lady of the Rosary School, based out of Greenville, South Carolina, went to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. The group were wearing matching blue beanies with the words Rosary, pro-life on them. Now, according to the American Center for Law and Justice, which is representing the parents of some of the students involved, alleged that the museum staff mocked the students, hurled expletives, claimed the museum was a neutral zone where political or religious messages were not allowed. Is this the same one that had no problem with homosexual pride marches or drag queen story hour? That's throughout D.C. But no, if it's pro-life, you can't have that. You see, that is an assault. That is an insult to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the very freedoms supposedly protected by the Constitution of the United States. D.C. is a federal city. Ultimately, its legislature is the Congress of the United States. Yes, I know Congress gave them their own little, city committee, but ultimately it's Congress. So there's no law Congress can create that can deprive these people of their right to exercise their faith, to speak, or to provide information via the press as they wish, including a pro-life message. See, that is an insurrection against the rule of law. Maybe you think that's a little hyperbolic. Maybe it is. But you get punched in the nose enough times by people trying to take away your rights, you tend to get a little sensitive about it. So when I see a tweet from a mother saying that a dozen kids from this trip were kicked out of the Air and Space Museum for wearing pro-life hats. They were told to remove their hats or leave. Ladies and gentlemen, that is government controlling their speech. That is an insurrection against the rule of law. They claim that they have a group of students that witnessed the intimidation that was there. Now, what's interesting is there was a woman there that had a gay pride mask on, and they were not asked to leave. This is government picking winners and losers. This is government regulating speech, press, and religion. This is government acting in insurrection to its creator, the Constitution of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, this cannot be allowed to stand. We have to stop going patty cake, going, well, sort of. No, I'm sorry. The people in the Smithsonian violated federal law. They committed a federal crime, 18 U.S.C. 242, possibly 241 as well, a conspiracy, by denying to these children a right protected by the Constitution of the United States, the right to freedom, freely exercise their religion, to freely express themselves via speech, or by a press. Where are the charges? We have to stop playing patty cake. We have to stop pretending this is not a big deal. It's the fact that we let this go so long that has made this a big deal. Now, there are some. There are, I would say, a few Americans that are seeking a way. They're grasping for straws of some way to defend themselves. And one of them, one of the movements that has popped up was the basis of a question that was asked.
Since before your sun burned hot in space, and before your race was born, I have awaited a question.
Okay, maybe I haven't waited quite that long, but I'm an old Star Trek fan, so I love that. So I was sent this question about a week ago, and the question was, what is your view on the sovereign citizen movement? Is there any basis for this line of thinking? Do things like the gold fringe flag actually have any nefarious meaning? Thank you. So let me take a quick look at this. I answered them, but I want to answer it here as well. I've seen the sovereign citizen movement used a couple of different ways, both of which, by the way, are, well, they're blatantly unconstitutional. The first I've seen is actually goes back to the 1970s, when the people started officially using the term sovereign citizen. And it basically referred to a group of people who basically claimed that they were sovereign, they were above the law, they believed things like taxes and certain laws didn't apply to them because they are quote-unquote sovereign citizens. Now, problem number one is it ignores the fact that the Constitution of the United States and I believe each of the several states as well, delegate to the government the power to pass laws to enact their powers, including, by the way, to lay and collect taxes. So people who think they don't have to pay federal taxes because it's illegal, well, again, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 gives Congress the ability to tax, lay and collect taxes. Granted, only to do three things, right? Pay the debts, provide for the common defense, and the general welfare of the United States, capital U, capital S, proper noun, the Union of States. Now, again, this they may be looking at unjust laws, and these laws may actually be void. As I've said, both Alexander Hamilton in Federalist 78 and Chief Justice Marshall, in the opinion of Marbury versus Madison from the Supreme Court, agreed that an act of the legislature repugnant to the Constitution is void. But the problem we run into is it's easy to go too far, to go beyond that. You know, for example, I say the Department of Energy doesn't legally exist. The difference is I prove it. I take my two-minute drill. I've used it before on other departments. The Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Clause 2, supersedes any act of Congress. An act of Congress must be pursuant to the Constitution to be the supreme law of the land. This was not a power delegated to the United States, therefore it was not made pursuant to the 10th Amendment, therefore it's not pursuant to the Constitution, therefore that act is void. And the DOE doesn't legally exist. Now the other example I've heard popping up lately, it's used by people who believe that somehow the United States is now a privately owned corporation, usually owned by the Vatican, Lloyd's of London, or some other nefarious group. Now, the claim that they are not citizens of the corporation of the United States, but of the sovereign United States. This is often, by the way, where I see the Admiralty flag, the gold fringe on the American flag, which is designates, depending on who I've talked to, either the Admiralty and Admiralty law or the fact that the United States is at war. But the other thing is that they often go back and say the United States was incorporated either in 1871 or 1872, but see, that's demonstrably false. See, I've read the Incorporation Acts of both 1871 and 1872, and you know what they say? The one of 1871, I believe, I want to make sure I get these in the right order. 1871, I believe, was how you create a corporation within the District of Columbia. So if, in other words, you want to start a business, if you want to create a corporation in the District of Columbia, the rules for that were, I believe, set in the Incorporation Act of 1871. The Incorporation Act of 1872 created a municipal corporation for the city of Washington, D.C. No private corporations, no transfer of ownership, no suddenly. But you see, these types of rumors get spread far and wide and fast. It's one of the reasons why I keep asking people to find the evidence, double check your facts, get proof of what you say, not simply because somebody says something. Now, I understand the desire to have some pushback against the insurrection against the Constitution that is the current government of Washington, D.C. But we can't violate the Constitution to protect the Constitution. What's interesting is when you actually read and study the Constitution, you find out, yeah, you know, many of these acts are void. And maybe it's about time we start teaching the states how to help us push back against those. Now, if you would like to ask a question, please go to the website, constitutionstudy.com. In the menu, there's a ask a question button. Fill out a form. If you'd like me to answer it here on the radio, just hit the checkbox. I love answering questions on the radio. I'll be more than happy to give that a try. But I hope you've seen that with all of this talk about insurrection and whatnot, what we're really seeing is an insurrection against the Constitution in D.C. But it's an insurrection instigated by the American people, because it's our representatives and the people they've hired that are doing it. Which means the answer isn't to start a war. The answer is to pick better representation, to decide for ourselves whether we wish to live free or as slaves to a bureaucracy in a far city, and then do something about it. If you don't believe the elections are fair, go volunteer for your election, your county board of electors. Every election starts at the county level. Help make sure your county is electing people properly. You do that, I do that, enough people do that, and guess what? Things will change. No, it's not sexy, it's not quick and easy, but it works. Now, if you have more ideas, if you'd like to hear more about this, hey, keep joining us every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The Constitution Study is heard on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can follow it on the website or on our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. If you can't listen then, the shows go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. Find them on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe, share, follow, rate the show, help other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com, but it's up to you. Only you can help as we share this information, share those links, share those stories, share it so that we can all share in the blessings of liberty.